Howdy, folks, and welcome to the April 4th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill. Oh, God, what's going to happen? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Much anticipated return show from the Creepy Kentuckian and Uncle Bill. But for all of you biatches out there, and there are maybe two or three of them, Steve is going to be joining us a little bit later.
It's like a fucking Dead Pit reunion show or something. It's like you got the old Dukes of Hazzard and the new Dukes of Hazzard together in one show.
Right.
What was that one asshole? No, you had Bo and Luke and then their cousin or whatever that came in.
Vance. Oddly enough, was named Vance. And who was the other one? I remember Vance because that was my fucking name. Was it Coy?
Yeah.
C-O-Y, yeah. Coy, I think it was. But, you know, and a lot of people, and I know that I've not done a show, and Uncle Bill hasn't done a show in a long fucking time together, me and you, Uncle Bill, just the way it used to be. And
no, I don't. I mean, you haven't done a show a long time period, though, have you?
No, and I didn't really. I just made like a little quick video talking about it a little bit right before. You know, I just wasn't feeling it, and it was one of those deals. And I know you've gotten to that point too, where it's not fun. You know, it wasn't fun to do a show every fucking week about a subject. Horror movies, in my opinion, that's stale as it's ever been.
Yeah,
in my humble opinion.
I agree. And not just, here's my thing too, it's not just horror movies, but it's like the people that, a lot of the people that are associated with writing about horror films or that are huge fans, they just talk about the same shit. Like there's no, because there's nothing to talk about really. Like you have to go back and do all these retrospective kind of shows about shit that happened in the 80s. Everybody's talked about that shit like a million times. There's nobody is going to say anything new about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of depressing in of itself.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, like, you know, it's not like I don't want to talk, and I love, you know, getting on here and expressing my opinion on various subjects and stuff. And horror films, you know, when they're out, when there's new stuff coming, you know, I love that. But the thing is, there's no new stuff coming, you know, and the stuff that's coming that I'm interested in, and this show in particular, we're going to be talking a lot, about Phantasm a little bit later on because, you know, our good friend, the upcoming, book Phantasm Exhumed, Dustin McNeil is actually going to be coming on here a little bit later with Steve. That's the segment Steve's going to be on. That's Steve's segment. And we're going to be talking about Phantasm Ravager, which...
Yeah, there's a lot of mixed, I guess, impressions about how that movie will be from people that I've seen.
Yeah. And the thing is, Don Coscarelli, from what I understand, he's not directing it. He's producing it, and this is the first Phantasm film where he's just, you know, a backer on it or whatever. And I'm sure he wrote it. I'm not sure, what else, you know, but the thing is, and we were talking about this years and years ago. I think this was back when we, met Angus Scrimm. This has probably been 5 or 6 years ago. We were talking about he's an 80-year-old guy, or he was 80 years old then. Like, he's close to probably 90 years old now.
Yeah.
It's awful tough. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's awful tough to make a guy that's 90 years old seem menacing. I mean, think about
that's
that.
True. But they've been doing it with Schwarzenegger now for about 10 years.
Well, he's not that fucking old, though.
No, no.
Let's be honest.
In all serious note, the other argument that I actually kind of agree with, even though I don't necessarily even like this movie that much is that they really tied it up well with Phantasm IV. I mean, to have another movie, it's really kind of needless just to be doing it, seems to be what this would do.
Yeah. And what I was saying, you know, the reason I mentioned that, though, and being excited for Phantasm V, I mean, I'm a fan of the series and all, I'm not going to say that, but the bottom line is that movie's not going to get a wide release. It's going to be it's going to be like John Dies at the End. It may be in like a dozen theaters or something in big cities, and it's going to be a directed DVD movie.
I mean, of course we'll watch it because we're huge fans of that series, especially you. But the thing about it is, though, man, I just hope it doesn't end up like a Hellraiser, you know, like a Hellraiser direct-to-DVD kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it looks like that, and it's just, I just don't want to see that happen.
You know, and I'm seeing, and I know that you've been watching a lot more of the theatrical stuff. You seem to go to the movies, you know, almost every weekend.
But the thing is,
and honestly, it is. It's a waste of money, isn't it? Because there's nothing, especially the horror stuff, because it's just so fucking, like, I can't even remember the names of a lot of this stuff that's coming out.
There's some movies, man, that are so fucking bad that it was hilarious to even sit there and think about how they got made. Like, went and saw, what was it, Devil Do, which is a movie about, basically like Rosemary's Baby, like a modern Rosemary's Baby. My God, that's one of the worst fucking movies. Like, just bad. Just overall, just bad filmmaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
it seems like there's a lot of stuff like that, though.
Well, look at fucking Oculus. I mean, I'm going to probably end up going to see that, but it's fucking called Oculus.
Yeah.
I've been calling it Coculus now for about the last month.
It's fucking Recoculus is what it is.
It is.
Yeah.
But man, look at that shit. Now, it might be a better movie than what I think, but look at the preview. It looks just like Mirrors, for one thing.
Well, and the thing is, too, and I think I don't know if my microphone's fucking up or what, but you guys can deal with it. None of these movies, and I don't even know what the deal is. I mean, none of them make any fucking money. Why do they keep coming out? Like, they just seem so fucking just contrived shit that just Hollywood's like, oh, this is the stuff that's popular now. Here you go. Here's another one. Just like it.
I don't think anybody has any clue about what the hell to do right now. It's kind of like, to me, it's like music, the music industry. They don't have any idea what to do. Like, they don't know what the next big trend is or who their audience is. They just keep throwing shit at the wall.
Yeah.
Another good example of that is that fucking, another movie I went to see and wanted to kill myself at was the Paranormal Activity, the marked ones.
Now, I think that actually comes out. I'll probably watch that. In a couple of weeks, it comes out on DVD.
Man, I'm sorry for you that you have to do that, but I'm just saying, that's another one.
I want to be honest, though. I mean, you should kind of shit on the fourth one. I didn't hate the fourth one that much. I know a lot of people hate it.
Well, I mean, it makes the fourth one look like the fucking, you know, Godfather trilogy.
Yeah, but basically, like, the lack of interest in the genre. And it's like, people are like, well, you can do retrospectives and shit. God damn it, we've talked about all this shit. I mean, we really have. Like, I'm sick to death of doing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how many times can you do another retrospective about something? That's kind of the point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've done this show. You know, we've taken some hiatuses like this last one. It's the first show that we've done in any form in almost 2 months. So I don't know if you realize that or not.
I didn't know.
Yeah, and it's the first one you've been on probably since the first of the year, I think.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is, and a lot of people don't know this, and a lot of people, you know, I think Steve does a fine job, you know.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is Dead Pit Radio is always going to be Creepy Kentucky and Uncle Bill. At the core, okay? So
yeah,
we've got to find a way to make you more of a part. You can't, like, the next show you're on, it shouldn't be in fucking May or June. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. And that was part of the reason why I tried to download Skype, but that didn't necessarily work.
Well, we're going to have to, we're going to have to work on the Skype thing. And the thing is, all it is probably just needed like a external microphone of some sort, and it'd probably be fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what, I mean, I've bought one, I just have to find it. So
I've got an extra one down here, but you just got to find an adapter for it.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I mean, I want to do it, and there, even like at times like this, seems to me like you can still have a good show about things at times like this, even when it's really, really crappy, like the scene is really, really crappy. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. It's a whole lot of different things, too, though, for me. I mean, not to be completely negative about it, but things are pretty goddamn negative right now. Like, you got horror films coming out maybe once every couple months, and they blow, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Then you've got the convention scene, which to me is the most depressing fucking thing.
For some reason, I knew we were going to talk about that.
I've ever seen right now. It's like, the only thing anybody ever talks about is the fucking photo ops. Things just keep getting more and more expensive. And you got everybody from The Walking Dead is at every fucking show.
Right.
And it's like, I get it. It's a popular fucking show. And now, I like that show. I don't like the scene around it to where, like, you get the same four people going to the show and they charge like $100 now. And I just think the whole thing's ridiculous. You got the same people saying the same shit about these fucking shows over and over and over again. They're saying the same stuff about the same movies that they've always been talking about. There's nothing going on. Now, back when we started this show, there's a lot going on, a lot more going on. Even if you hated it, the stuff that was going on, at least there was a lot of it going on. But it's getting to the point now where it's like people are just creating shit.
Yeah. Well, the convention scene, and we've been, this hasn't been a recent thing with the conventions. I mean, we've talked about this for the better part of 2 years, how much the things have changed and gotten just not fun. And, now when I see people posting their photos of whoever they met and all that, I don't get the same, like, oh, that's so cool. Look who they met. It's just the fact that, well, yeah, they went on like a fucking, almost like a Indiana Jones style scavenger hunt or whatever, like we did for fucking Robert Englund.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, the convention thing, man, honestly, I'm probably not going to go to one this year. I don't, and the one that I was going to go to would have been Scarefest, and since Waldridge is out of there, man, I don't care. I really don't. Like, you know, there's really nobody that, Jamie Lee Curtis was my big person that I wanted to get. And that was a really fun show, and I think that they did a good job with that show. But, you've got more and more people, like, when they bring in the big guests, they bring in Robert Englund, they bring in Bruce Campbell, you're paying 50 bucks to just get an autograph. You can't get a photo. If you want a photo, man, that's another 50 bucks.
You hear about the...
But, you'll hear other people say, well, you can get the photo with Clint Howard and all these guys. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Clint Howard's uglier than fuck.
Maybe that's just another reason you want a photo with him.
Well, maybe. Like, you could say, oh, here's my retarded uncle. No, but... And I know people still have fun at these shows and stuff like this, but I just remember how it was not that long ago. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of friends partying that had a similar interest in films. And a lot of these friends that we hung out with, they don't go to shows anymore. So we're there after hours twiddling our thumbs with, we might have one or two people that used to be in that crowd. But, it's just changed so much from what it was. I don't really have an interest in going to those shows anymore. And a lot of stuff has changed, with, I haven't bought any new movies the whole year yet, Uncle Bill. I don't know if you realize that or not.
I didn't. I was sitting here thinking, I mean, the majority of stuff that I've bought here recently has been from Shout Factory. That's, and they're not new. I did buy Return to Nukem High. I bought that from Walmart because I was like, I was going through Walmart and I was like, I can't fucking believe that I actually see this right now, but it was only like $10. And I was like, they're really going to put out a trauma movie in Walmart, like a new. So I had to buy it. I just had to buy it out of principle. I started to watch it last night, but it's not very good. I'm not going to lie. But that's the thing. Like, none of it's very good right now. No matter what it is, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah. Well, the thing with me, too, is, man, is like, you know, and I want to put the guy over hell. I like watching the videos. They're entertaining. A lot of people think I'm making fun of the guy. Maybe I am. But there's a guy on YouTube that kind of fixed me in that way because I saw how bad it could get if you keep collecting these Blu-rays and DVDs. There's this guy on YouTube. You need to look him up, Uncle Bill. He's a different kind of fucking monster, man. I mean, literally. His name's Cinema Sickness on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The guy buys HD DVDs, right? Like I used to. I used to try to collect HD DVDs. But no, he wants an open copy and a sealed copy of each HD DVD.
Because why wouldn't you, really?
Yeah. I mean, and he's got a collection of players, backup players. He has 10 HD DVD players in his collection, backup. And the fucking guy, man, he buys, I'm not kidding you, or he buys or gets, you know, people send him shit. It's probably 80 or 90 different movies a week or more than that, you know. And he kind of cured me from that because at the end of the day, when you buy a DVD, you spend your money on a DVD, you go, if you wanted to actually get rid of it at some point, you're basically giving it away. That type of thing never holds its value, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and Blu-rays are the same way. So that's an awful lot of money to spend, you know, especially if you're buying them new and it's $20-$25 a movie. Unless it's something you really love, you know, like I'm a big fan of the Goonies and I'll always buy every edition of Texas Chainsaw Massacre that comes out. But do I really need, like, I don't know, all the Spider-Man movies on Blu-ray? Do I really need the Hobbit films? You know, just all the new stuff, like Carrie and all, you know, the Paranormal Activity movies and all that stuff. No. So I've completely quit buying, you know, physical copies of stuff like that. Some of my favorites, of course, I'll still buy them. I'll still support Shout Factory and their stuff. But it's a waste of money, man. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that guy, you'd end up like that guy. You'd have 40,000 some fucking movies. And, you know, when you die, what in the fuck? Your family's going to be fucking stuck with them. You know? I mean,
I guess I didn't think of that.
It's a gigantic waste of money. That's that kind of collecting. And I wasn't that bad, but I could see myself, you know, I was running out of room. I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
With actually buying copies of movies and stuff. And I think a lot of people should, like, seriously reevaluate that sort of thing. I mean, somebody like me, I mean, I would find a deal on something if they had $4 Blu-rays or $5 Blu-rays, hell, I'd buy every fucking one of them. You know, and they would just sit and collect dust. And I know you're the same way.
That's normally the way that it goes, too. I mean, back in the day, that's what you did with DVDs. You bought, like, I always went to the bargain bins, bought the 550 ones, and when that was like a big deal, and then you don't ever watch them. And even back then, I realized what was going on. It's the same thing as, like, if something's on sale, and it doesn't really matter what it is, we use DVDs as an example. you'll buy it just because you see that you think that it's a bargain. Even if you don't need it or you don't have any intention of ever using it, you'll just fucking buy it. And that's what we did. And there's hundreds of DVDs to back that up. And I'd say probably 30 to 40% of them I've never watched. Exactly. I mean, I've seen them before, but I've never watched the DVD.
I was going to tell you about something. And I came here getting them because I thought you'd probably pay me back, but I didn't. What I do now for movies is I'll go to pawn shop and I'll get them for $1 a piece, and then I can just bring them back to the pawn shop or sell them on eBay or whatever. And I put them on Vudu. You know, I do the disc digital thing on Vudu. At Poor Boys in Paintsville, you may want to get this shit. They had some of the three disc WWE DVDs. They had the War Games one. They had some Monday Night Raw one. And they had the In Your House one, which those are all kind of new. I'm thinking they were $1 a piece. So.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
I'd run by there. I mean, I know you work close by there, and just see if they still got them tomorrow. I knew you were looking for that War Games one. I actually have, like, all that stuff, I think, on the Vudu thing, but I was tempted to just get it anyway. But, yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a deal on that stuff.
But to sum it up, though, like, I think a couple different things contributed to what's going on right now. Number one, there's no real scene or excitement or anything about new movies, new horror films anyway that I can see. Number two, we got tired of talking about the same thing that we always talk about. The other thing was that me personally, I got tired of seeing the same people talk about the same things and plug stuff and talk about stuff that, you know, I don't know. So all this stuff.
I'll be honest too, man. I mean, I was just burnt out.
Yeah.
And I think you need to take breaks like that every once in a while. You know, and I seriously contemplated, you know, and I didn't really talk to you about this, but I was seriously thinking, you know, maybe we should just end it. But the thing is, I always, like, even, and I don't think it's that bad because I love talking about stuff, you know, I mean, if it's exciting to me, like I'm doing the WrestleManiacs thing on YouTube, the live stuff on YouTube, I like talking about it. And it's not the fact that I don't think I'm burnt out on just talking about horror. It's just the genre itself. Like, it needs something. And I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know if it'll ever be anything mainstream that'll shoot something into, you know, empower that fucking horror beast back up or whatever, you know,
I think that everything, and this is in my opinion kind of what happened, but happened in the 80s and then you saw what happened in the 90s, but I think it's happened now. I think that it, for lack of a better thing, it just, everything blew its load right around 2008. 2009, like, I just think you had this perfect storm of, there are all these really big franchises that were making movies that kind of just all died, the Saws and the Paranormal Cryptivities and all this stuff is really, really in big effect, and it just kind of dies. But then at the same time, you've got all these DVD companies and Blu-ray companies that start coming out with all these releases. And to me, the end of that was Shout Factory. Because what Shout Factory did was they just took everything that everybody had ever wanted to be out on Blu-ray or DVD and made it happen. And then it just, what did you do then? You know, like, what? The whole purpose of a show like ours, in my opinion, back in the day was you get recognition for little-known horror people, and then you throw some mainstream guys in there, and then you get recognition for, you know, DVDs that you want to come out, but that doesn't exist anymore. They've pretty much done that. Mm-hmm. So it's like all that stuff came, it got huge, it got really, really popular, and everybody followed suit. And now you got shit like when I see fucking Code Red coming out with, like, they got the Redeemer or something coming out on Blu-ray. And it's like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, and we're definitely going to talk about at least one more We are going to have a show, like a, you know, we're going to have the news portion up here and stuff. But I know people was wondering, you know, where is the new Dead Pit? Where is the new show, you know, for, it's been a couple of months. And the bottom line is I just needed a break. And we may reevaluate some things and do things differently. That'll freshen it up for us. And that may be us doing something like a 1 hour show. And I'm getting a phone call here. I'm an Irishman. But, what was I saying? We may change things.
Change things
up a little bit. You know, if it's producing something like an hour long Dead Pit show, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should bring the phone calls back on a semi-regular basis and make the fans more a part of it.
I honestly think at this point that somebody else needs to kind of try to reignite our interest in these in movies and let us know about things that are going on. And you know what I mean? Like, I think that would probably help more than anything.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I still...
I'm just not, like... Whatever it is that I'm trying to do to find, and most of what I've been trying to do to find new stuff is go to the movies, but that's not working because most of the stuff is, like I said, not very good.
Yeah, I agree.
So if somebody would like let us know some things that we're missing or like some interesting new stuff that's going on or something like that, that'd be good.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, you don't really, you know, I don't trust a lot of the big horror websites because they kind of put everything over, but. Yeah, if anybody out there, has anything like, you know, we both have Netflix. We could find something on net, you know, if people, and I, you know, for a while there when I first got the Netflix, I was looking and I found some stuff that's halfway interesting on there, but, you know, if maybe some other people can enlighten us on exactly, you know, which ones are on there right now that's good and all that. And I, hell, I'll put, let me say this, as far as the independent stuff goes, a lot of the stuff that I watch, and I, you know, I hate to say this because I'm not a big fan of them, the Bloody Disgusting Select stuff overall wasn't too bad. Most of that stuff. I haven't watched all of it. A few months ago, I grabbed pretty much all those used. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple like Yellow Brick Road was one that was freaky as shit. I don't know if we ever talked about that on the show. And then the woman, Lucky McKee, the one he did, I really enjoyed that. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff out there. And yeah, the fans can help if they want to, you know, we'll be taking phone calls again real, real soon. I don't know, you know, we'll have to see when we can do that, but I want to continue to do stuff. You know, the fans love the call-in portion, and they love the interview segments and stuff like that. And we're going to try to get some interviews with some folks, too. But, yeah. I mean, that was basically, I just wanted to, we both just wanted to talk about why things are the way they were and still are, you know, with the show and all that. And everybody's busy, too. I mean, everybody's doing... You know, I've got a lot of other stuff that I was trying to get done and focus on and stuff like that. You know, that doing the show took time out of. I mean, one thing I guess I could mention on here, and I've never talked about it, but one thing that I wanted to do was get a driver's license, Uncle Bill, and you actually helped me do that just last month. And that was one thing that I did on my break from the show. And a lot of people was curious. And I know not everybody's going to listen to this, so we'll still be able to do that video. But everybody, you know, when we did our on-the-road videos, they were always asking. I would never say, because I was kind of embarrassed. I mean, fuck, you know. Why isn't CK ever drive, you know? And that was why. I never had a driver's license until just about a month ago. So that was one of the big things I wanted to accomplish. I was scared shitless the day I took the test, but I must have been in the fucking zone or something.
Yeah, you must have been. You're not even going to tell me what happened with that, but,
Well,
the end result, really.
It was, I had got like a 98% on it, which is fucking crazy.
Wow.
You know, I was scared to death, but it was one of those deals where, you know, sometimes, and it doesn't work like that for me all the time, but sometimes when you get nervous, it's a good thing, you know, in situations like that. And I guess it must have been for me that day. But, yeah, that was, you know, I'd gotten my permit just a few months earlier, and it was just kind of a sudden thing. Something just hit my head, and I was like, I won't fucking do this, you know.
Yeah, people, I guess they don't realize, like, there's all kinds of other stuff going on in the background. You know, people always wanting us to do a show, or wanting there to be a show, or wanting something to happen, and it's like, well, you know. Then there's stuff like that, you know. You want to get done, you want to do something, and you're working, and it requires time and effort and all this stuff. And, I mean, yeah, that's kind of life, in a way. Kind of gets in the way of
that's true.
Stuff like this.
But, yeah.
But let everybody think that we're entirely taking a dump on the genre and show and stuff like that. I mean, there are some interesting things going on here lately, like stuff that I've heard about, and the Phantasm thing is one of those things, and there's other stuff too. But I mean, there is some new stuff happening.
Yeah. I guess we'll take a break and we'll talk about some of that new stuff, Uncle Bill, because we do have some news to get to. And a little bit later on, I didn't talk about it as well, and maybe, I don't know, if you want to join us for that, because we'll probably be doing that a little bit later. We're going to be talking about WrestleMania. We're going to be doing a WrestleMania preview, and that'll be towards the end of the show. I think I'm going to have Double Schneeberger join me for that. So we're going to have a bunch of different people on here. And if Uncle Bill, if you want to join us for that, you can too. I don't know how much you know about this year's WrestleMania.
This is probably, well, it's not probably. It's by far the least I know about a WrestleMania, I'd say.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be the biggest one ever. You know, you'd think they'd promote it.
I haven't seen a whole lot of promotion. I saw, actually, that's not true. I saw one commercial on today with Hogan on it.
Well, I was in the Mandarin House today, and I saw a commercial on their big screen TV. I was like, well, that's wild. I think they have it on DirecTV or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll be talking about, should be talking about WrestleMania. I think Schneeberger's joining us. We'll see. You know, we're kind of doing this show completely live to tape. We haven't done any of this stuff, you know, before, even the interview. So he may back out of that fucking interview, Uncle Bill, Dustin McNeil, the Phantasm Exhumed.
He better not.
He better not, Bulls. Because fuck our show up. Anyway, we will be back after this quick break here on Dead Pit.
John Call.
Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentuckian here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's wesvance@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image or type out the code, either one will work, and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's wesvance@gmail.com, wesvance@gmail.com, or on Facebook, private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Howdy, folks. This is the news portion.
Yep, this is the portion where we actually talk about some interesting stuff that's going on, not just bitch about everything that's not going on.
That's true. Although we took up probably about 30 minutes doing that, so.
Yeah, but let's be honest, that's been the start of our show for like the last 8 years.
That's true.
So what's going on?
I can remember, though, that first show we did. We were, like, ragging on 2005, man. And 2005 had some fucking killer movies. Holy shit. Like, we were so fucking spoiled. Anyway.
Well, who would have known it would have gone to what has it?
That's true. We were bitching about 2005, though, just because I think the big shitty movie that came out that year was The Fog remake or something. Like, that was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that deserves bitching about. But, I mean, come on. You had, like, The Devil's Rejects. You had High Tension and all that stuff came out that year, at least in America.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, that was an amazing film.
That's true. Well, no, that was was that the remake or that? No, that was the prequel to the remake. There you go.
Was that 2005? No, you're right. 2003 was just.
Yeah. But anyway, 2014, boys. Fuck. Seems like we fast forwarded. Death Spa is coming out on Blu-ray and DVD, May the 27th, from Dark Sky Films, the late 80s horror flick directed by Michael Fisher, the guy who also gave us My Mom's a Werewolf. The film features Ken Foree and is set against the backdrop of a health club in which an evil spirit is killing off the fit, hot bodies, working up a sweat.
I actually really like this movie, though. I mean, I think that it's almost so surreal that they made a movie about a spa that kills people that it's enjoyable. But why would you have a Blu-ray of that? I have no idea. No earthly idea why you'd want that.
And how good could it actually look on Blu-ray?
It can't. There's no way. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's say it looked amazing, right? Let's say it looked like the best ever. It's still a low budget horror film that is kind of like on trauma level. And there's no way it could look any better than like a DVD.
Yeah. I don't know why you just wouldn't do a DVD of that.
I don't either.
And because it's never been released on DVD either. So just do a DVD of this. I mean,
simple ways running around that shit. Yeah. Like, oh God, this spa's killing people.
The tagline in this is fucking retarded too, by the way. You'll sweat blood. Oh, shit.
I do like the idea, though. Everything in the movie is based around, like, they had to come up with a way for, like, something in a spa to kill people. So, you know, like the exercise equipment malfunction. Because it's a possessed spa. You remember this?
Right. Yeah, didn't they have, like, didn't the fucking urinals attack people and shit in it or something?
Everything that you would find in a spa attacks people.
Yeah.
Like a sauna. You know, it's ridiculous, but it's great at the same time.
Also, though, I guess the real big news, probably the biggest horror news in the past year, probably, I would say, and we mentioned it earlier, Phantasm V Ravager. And this actually came out, the news of this came out on my fucking birthday, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah. A fifth film is on its way. Phantasm Archives says that the project has been in the works since 2008 and is already shot. They've already finished it. The original working title for several years was Reggie's Tales, which is, goddamn, that's dumb as shit.
Yeah, it sounds like a horrible like Nickelodeon.
Yeah. It's like the early 90s, like, you know, remember that show My Brother and Me or something?
Yeah.
This is Reggie's Tale. Here's Reggie. No. The original cast members make appearances. It was partially filmed in Crestline at Reggie Bannister's own home. Many of the familiar series elements are back, like the Cuda and the Sphere. Don Coscarelli himself co-wrote the film with Hartman and produced it through his Silver Spheres company with executive He says, I felt it was time to let someone else play with my train set. And he said, David and I will go back to the film Bubba Hotep. He did a terrific job on visual effects in that film, and recently created a wild animated sequence and some amazing visual effects in some recent films, like John Dies at the in his recent film John Dies at the End, which, man, I didn't really like that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, depending on who you are, it's either like a masterpiece or a piece of shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, man, the more I hear about this, then the more I just don't. I have no idea how this would be any good. No idea. I mean, it's filmed in his fucking house.
Yeah, and it seems to me, and maybe I'm just imagining this, but didn't they talk about some sort of web series that they were doing with Phantasm a few years ago or something?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm thinking that maybe it was originally just this web series, because if you look at the trailer, man, and there's a teaser of it out there, it by far looks like the cheapest Phantasm film ever. Like,
yeah, I mean, it just looks so bad. This is going to be one of those situations where they'll take a bunch of clips of things they filmed and try to, like, force them to fit into a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it'll just be a hodgepodge of different scenes and stuff that don't really make that much sense. And it'll probably be really cheap looking too. I just can't. I just do not see this working out well. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, the cast includes Angus Scrimm and Reggie Bannister. And Michael Baldwin is actually coming back, of course. I mean, you know.
He's a busy fucking man now.
And the director, I guess Hartman, was saying, we were fortunate to shoot amazing new sequences with horror icon Angus Scrimm. He has terrific scenes with Reggie and Mike that are truly powerful. Series regulars Bill Thornberry and Cat Lester also appear in the film. It sounds to me like the whole thing, and this is what we're going back with Angus Scrimm. Angus Scrimm's close to 90 fucking years old, folks. I'm sure he's very limited in the film, in Ravager or whatever, because he's 90 fucking years old. But it sounds like, I don't know who the villain is going to be in. Surely to God it wouldn't be him. You know, what are they going to do? Just make that gigantic fucking sphere of the villain, which looks stupid as shit, by the way. That looks so fucking bad. Oh, man.
Looks horrible. Is it in the trailer?
Yeah, it's in the trailer. It's like over, and you you need to watch it again if you can't remember that, because it just looks so horrible. It's like a gigantic sphere, like as big as the Death Star or something, over top of Reggie.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, at some point or another, there's not a whole lot you can do once you get to a certain age, but that's what I'm thinking, though. Like, that's why it even makes more sense to me that they would just take clips of things they filmed over the years, like even back when he was a little bit more able to do things, because I just don't see how they would make it now, you know?
Right.
Like, the idea that you can have a Phantasm movie without him is crazy to me.
Exactly.
It's like trying to do a Nightmare on Elm Street movie without Robert Englund, which you saw how that worked out. It's just not going to... He is the whole movie, really.
Mm.
That's not going to happen.
Yep.
And I just... I don't know. It just more and more that I hear about it, it feels like you want to cash in on something, you know, hurry and do something. You've got all these clips laying around and things they were going to try to do something else. People have been talking about Phantasm 5. I mean, and it depends on how you look at it, really. Okay, if you're looking at it like, you know, something is better than nothing, and there's a good possibility that nothing would have ever come out of trying to do, like, another film, then you could say it as a positive thing. But if you're talking about the quality of the movie, there's no way. No fucking way.
Well, you've got to talk about, in my opinion, you know, this series, even though I'm not a big fan of Part 3, I think that it's a great... I thought that Oblivion, had, even though, it, you know, a lot of people rag on that movie too, but it was just the perfect bookend to that series. And the series was wrapped up with Phantasm IV. There's nothing else, you know, because essentially at the end, I think what they were going for is everything was a dream. The whole series was a dream. So kind of like the JR ending, I guess. But it just the way they did it with that footage that was never used from the original film, it was perfect. It was a great way to end the series. Everything's wrapped up in those four films. And I know some people didn't like Oblivion, but man, I'll admit it, I liked it. I thought it was overall, it was a pretty good movie, and it was definitely, I know it was a low budget film, but it was something that I think was made with passion.
Coscarelli. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about too. It's like, it's low budget, but you can tell it's, first of all, it's made by somebody that kind of knows what they're doing. I mean, you know, Coscarelli knows what he's doing, but second of all, you can tell that at least he cared about what happened with it too. Like, even if they didn't have the budget to do a lot of things that he probably wanted to do, and even if it didn't all, you know, completely fall together, it still, somebody actually cared about it. And I don't know. That's what I worry about with this one, is would somebody actually care about it, or is it just an attempt to make money on it?
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. I mean, it's without Angus Scrimm, and I know he's in the film, but he's, like I said, he's almost 90 years old, you know, and he's the nicest fucking guy ever was. I remember when we interviewed him, it was awesome to talk to him. But he's not who he was, you know, and the last film was 1998. You know, and he was old then. He was an old guy then. And he barely pulled it off, you know, but he did. But we're going forward now, what, 15, 16 years?
Yeah.
You know, when you want to get that performance out of him again, he's lucky to be alive. I mean, he's old. He's an old guy, you know. And that series is just so amazing, and I love those films so much that I want this movie to be great. Hopefully we're wrong. Hopefully it's fucking, it's a low budget, but it's awesome movie. Hopefully. But I don't say, I'm like you. I see it as just a franchise that are cashing in on that name, you know, and they did something on the cheap.
I'd love to be surprised about this, but I would almost guarantee we won't be. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. There's no release date for that, by the way, either. I mean, when it's coming, but they say it's done. So,
yeah.
Well, we got a couple more things you want to.
Okay.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil 2.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Before you read this, I don't know how much we've actually discussed that movie. Maybe we talked about it one time.
Yeah, I think we reviewed it.
But I really like that movie. Now, it's a comedy. It's a horror comedy, and it's not really, and it, I don't know, it's not really an attempt to be a...
to me, it's way more comedy than it is horror, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not...
But I don't have a problem with that movie. I really like it. I actually really do look forward to this, but do you have a synopsis for this in the book?
Yeah, I think so. The stars of the film actually recently appeared at Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati. I think it was the weekend before last.
Yeah.
The producers of the film contacted them to say a sequel is currently in development. Tucker and Dale are two best friends on vacation in their dilapidated mountain house who are mistaken for murderous backwoods hillbillies by a group of obnoxious pressy. That's the same. That's the plot from the last film. I guess there's no plot yet.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll just do that shit again. That'd be the best fucking sequel ever. It's the same.
You know what, though? That'd probably be the best idea for a plot line of some of these movies. Is you'd be like, they're going to do that shit again.
Yeah.
Do the same shit again.
Yeah.
The thing that made that movie to me was the two leads. Like, because both those guys are actually really well-respected actors, but they're character actors. You know what I mean? But they pulled that off. That's the only reason why that movie worked.
Yeah.
It was a low-budget movie. It didn't have a whole lot going for it other than that, but those two guys. And somehow or another, it clicked, and it was really enjoyable to watch. But
well, I really like I like the fact, too, that they're not waiting too damn long to do the sequel to it, because usually movies like this, you know, and that movie did, it was a direct-to-DVD movie, that one, the first one was, and it did really well. A lot of people enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was on par, I mean, in terms of direct-to-DVD stuff with, what's the other one? Oh, God. Jack Brooks and Rise of Paul Wesley Byrne and all that stuff. Like, I think it did as well as those movies. Maybe not as well as Hatchet, but certainly as well as those movies did for direct-to-DVD release.
Yeah, so we'll have to... You know, the stars don't even know anything about it yet, but I'm sure that'll be coming probably the next couple years. Scream Factory, they've been announcing all kinds of shit lately, but one of the big ones that people were wanting for a while was Leviathan, which, you know, that movie, I don't think it's ever even come out on DVD, as far as I know. The George P. Cosmatos directed creature feature is going to be featuring, is going to be making its way to Blu-ray courtesy of Scream Factory, and the Summer of Fear release, slate is about to get drenched.
I'm going to get drenched.
You're going to get drenched in cums. What you going to get drenched in, Uncle Bill?
No.
It says, we're thrilled to report that we will be bringing the 1989 underwater monster flick, Leviathan, to Blu-ray for the first time this August. We know that this will please many of you, as it's been requested several times. Well, I've requested...
Wait a minute. I always, for some reason, get Leviathan and that other movie, Life Force, mixed up. Now, Leviathan is the one with Peter Weller, is that right?
I think so, but I'm not sure. I don't even remember if I've seen that movie. But I know that's one a lot of people fucking go on about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it like a long time ago.
For some reason, I always get Leviathan mixed up with like Deep Star Six.
Well, I think it's basically the same type of movie.
Oh, God.
I did see something, though, man. I was like, oh, my God, I got to get this. Is the artwork they released for Motel Hell? Screen Factory. Did you see that?
I didn't. I'll go look at it, though.
Oh, God. That's amazing. Blu-ray looks amazing.
Screen Factory, though, man, like, overall, and I was talking to somebody about this. I think that they've almost blew their fucking load already, and, like, now they're getting some of these lesser-known movies, like Final Exam and, you know, Evil Speak and Ravenous and shit like that.
Yeah.
They should have, if they were, you know, last 2 years or so, if they would have held off on some of them and made them more, you know, spread them out a little bit more, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't have done that.
You know what's funny? I was on their website the other day, and I noticed this. Never really paid attention to it. They had the tracker that tracks their most popular sales, like the titles that sell the most.
Uh-huh.
And in the top five or six, none of them were any of those horror films, by the way. They were shit like, I don't even remember now, but it wasn't anything, like, it was like exercise videos.
Holy shit. I see that fucking artwork now.
Isn't that amazing?
That is fucking killer. Like, I want to get that. I want to get the fucking tattoo of the pig with the chainsaw.
Yeah.
That would be a killer fucking tattoo. Oh, my God. That is awesome. Yeah. You know what, though, man? You don't need that other shit on there. I would have just had the fucking pig on there. That'd been fucking killer.
Yeah.
It's a little bit too busy, but I love that artwork.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it just for that. I mean, I bought Night of the Demons here recently and got body bags. And so, yeah.
But some more of the stuff, though, I mean, they announced Without Warning. It's another, like, alien movie.
Yeah. I think we've seen that.
Yeah, I saw it, like, it's been many years, but and they've got, like, let's see, Sleepaway Camp, that's a big one coming out. Yeah. I will get that one for sure. And they mentioned Leviathan. Did you get the Slumber Party Massacre Blu-ray? Because I don't have that one yet.
No, I didn't get that one either.
Yeah, that... you know what, though? They should have done, like, the... all three movies on Blu-ray. Like, that'd been... To me, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I don't really know why they didn't. I would have thought that would have been...
Yeah. Unless...
Is it in the same rights?
Yeah. Oh, they own all that shit. They've got it on DVD. Yeah. They also come out with Phantom of the Paradise, Lord of Illusions. That one's coming out. Let's see. We mentioned Evil Speak. I think they're coming out with Ginger Snaps as well. An odd one is The Shadow, Alec Baldwin. But I think that's coming under the Shout Factory banner. But yeah, it's kind of weird.
I know I've seen that movie, but I don't remember it. It's one of those movies that kind of gets forgotten.
They have so much shit coming out.
Like Rocket Man. Like, I know it exists, but I don't remember anything about it.
There's something called The Monkey's Paw. I don't even know what the fuck that is. And there's Lake Placid, which I'm fucking... That makes no sense to me.
That didn't really fit, does it?
No sense. So, yeah. Scream Factory, as always, they got a lot of shit coming out. Nothing that I really, other than maybe that Sleepaway, definitely Sleepaway Camp. I'm not sure when that comes out, though. I think it's pretty soon, isn't it? I definitely want that and want the Slumber Party Massacre.
I think Sleepaway Camp's within the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. But they've got other stuff like The Final Terror. Like, I talked about this. The Final Terror fucking blows, man. That's a shitty slasher film. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I don't think I have. No.
Yeah. But, hey, overall, man, Scream Factory, like, they're the only company out there releasing stuff like this. So I would highly recommend people just supporting them because I want to see more of this stuff come out, regardless of what the movie is. You know, I won't be buying all this stuff, but, you know, they put out a pretty awesome product, I think.
It's just amazing to me they can still find all this stuff to come out with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where the ideas for a lot of it comes from, but pretty soon they are going to be releasing, you know, Blu-rays of My Mom's Werewolf.
So, yeah, I think that's it for the news. There's not, again, I'm having issues with my microphone. I don't know if you can tell or not, but, I think that's it for the news, though. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, there's one other thing I wanted to talk to you about. You kind of mentioned it early on, but we didn't get to talk about it, is Code Red and their Blu-ray releases.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
what's some of them? I mean, I know they announced a couple of them, but what's...
Of course, the one I'm interested in is Savage Streets. Not because I'm interested in buying it, but more because I'm interested in how they're going to fuck it up. I mean, seriously, man. Like, people...
They're not having any extras on it, right? Is that the deal?
I don't know. I know he picked, like, 2 or 3 titles. One of them was Redeemer, and one of them was that, and there was another one, too, but I don't remember what the other one was. Wait a minute. It almost came to me. It's another mildly popular, like, code. Oh, Nail Gun Massacre. That's another one. They pick these movies, but the problem with Mick to me about Code Red is, this is just my opinion, but they never seem to do right with these fucking movies. Like, I've never seen a Code Red Blu-ray yet, but I can, from the DVDs, I can only imagine. Like, they're just not good.
Well, to be fair, like, there's one that I saw that they did do a pretty good job on. That was Just Before Dawn. That one looks pretty good. Like, I don't know why.
You're talking
about
the Blu-ray?
Yeah, the Blu-ray of it.
I mean, I didn't even know they did a Blu-ray of that.
Yeah. I have a copy of it if you want it.
Oh, I do.
You can buy it off of me for what I got in it. $45.
Good Lord.
No, I'm just kidding. I think it was like 25 or something.
But yeah, I mean, Savage Streets is one of my favorite movies, just especially the exploitation genre. But man, I don't know. I don't know why I have such a hard time supporting that company. Mostly because, like, they half-ass do a whole bunch of stuff, and that's just, I just can't tolerate it. Like, they're the anti-Scream Factory, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, the thing is they do their stuff on the cheap. I mean, they don't spend any money usually on these releases because they don't have any money to spend. They don't even have a distributor. I don't even know how they're still around. The only way they sell their movies is through Amazon and through their website, you know, or a couple other websites. They're not available any big time stores, anything like that, any big retailers.
Well, but, you know, that's kind of the way that all the independent companies used to do it. If you're interested in a movie like Savage Streets and you want to see it on Blu-ray, I mean, I don't predict that will happen with anybody else anytime soon, so that might be something to look into.
That's true. But Code Red, like, they'll come out with stuff. They won't even announce it. It'll just be on the website. It'll be on there.
Yeah.
You know, they're weird like that.
I don't know who does that press or publicity or anything, but, like, yeah, it's not good.
But anyway, I guess that is it for Uncle Bill on the show. We're going to take a break, and we're going to try to get our interview on here. And we'll have Steve on here joining us and stuff, and all the biatches can be happy. All four of them.
Nice. Yay.
But, yeah, we'll definitely have to get you back on, Uncle Bill, and I'm sure people will enjoy hearing your banter.
Well, I hope they do. If they don't, they can go fuck themselves. Yeah. The hell.
So, we will be back after this quick break. Here on Dead Pit.
So it's good.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. The Creepy Kentuckian is on here with
the bee plant bitches.
All you biatches better be on the lookout.
Haters.
They are player haters. What do you think about Uncle Bill in the first segment, Steve?
It was okay, but, you know, he's off his game. He's rusty. He's got ring rust.
He is. You know what's sad, though, about that, too, and people noticed because we talked about it?
It's all sad.
He Skyped in, Steve.
Oh, my God, and he's just down the road.
Yeah. What do you think of that bullshit?
It's just a decline of, you hate to see it be that way, but I just think it's over the mountain going down the hill fast.
Yeah.
It's going to crash.
I'm having problems. It's been a long time since we rock and rolled, Steve.
It is. You ain't got all the cylinders not firing.
Yeah, I think this cord or something is jacked up. I'm having issues. But anyway, here in a couple minutes, we're going to bring on Dustin McNeil, who has written a brand new book on Phantasm called Phantasm Exhumed, The Unauthorized Companion of Phantasm. So if you're a fan of the Phantasm films, definitely something. It looks like basically the Crystal Lake Memories for Phantasm fans. And he's interviewed interviewed almost everybody you can think of, except for Don Coscarelli. And we will, strange story, we'll get into that a little bit with him a little bit later on. So,
holla.
There's that. And next segment, we're actually going to have another segment on here. It's going to be a little brief one, but we're going to talk about WrestleMania. And it's coming up this Sunday night. And I think Jason Schneeberger is going to join me. I don't know if Steve, you might be in the bed by that point. Maybe we can record it here in a little bit. I don't know what time you have to leave, but I can contact him and see. But, yeah, we're going to be running down WrestleMania and kind of doing like a little pre-show, a little bit of WrestleManiacs here on Dead Pit. I think we do that every year anyway, the WrestleMania preview thing. So we got that in store. And also, up on deadpit.com, there's a link to the WrestleManiacs t-shirts, that t-shirt Joe's making for us. They're pretty cool looking shirts. Steve hasn't purchased his yet, unfortunately, but you should purchase yours. You know, everybody else should, because
someone should purchase me one.
They're pretty nice looking shirts, Steve.
I know, I saw them.
Yeah, they'd be good to wear in the gym, man. You can flex your muscles and, you know, do the bow and arrow.
You know, there's still wrestlers that come into my gym, so I could be
yeah, you could represent the WrestleManiacs.
I'm a WrestleManiac.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. So, hey, I hope everybody though overall. I mean, this after this interview kind of ends the horror portion of the show. So hopefully everybody has enjoyed it.
Also. The new show for the Two Against is going to be another commentary for Nightmare City.
That's right. You can check that out. And you've also got some free commentary on there, Rocktober Blood, for anybody out there that owns that film. I don't know.
It's on YouTube, so you don't have to
have it.
Holler.
And something else, Steve, I was going to mention to you on here. I was noticing that Code Red DVD have put those films out on their website.
I know. I ordered two of them. I ordered Redeemer and Savage Streets.
I knew you was going to fucking order Savage Streets.
I thought about all five of them.
I saw that.
And I like Nail Gun Massacre, but I really just don't think that they can clean that up. So I'm not going to. Not until I hear otherwise.
Neon Maniacs is a pretty cool film, too. I didn't know they were releasing that.
Yeah, I mean.
But, again, that's. I mean, I can watch that on DVD. Like some of these movies, you don't really need, you know, Savage Streets. I love Savage Streets. I'll buy that on any format. I may purchase The Redeemer. I may pull one of your, because I've never seen that film. And I hear a lot
like
of people.
I like it a lot. I mean, of course, it was, the school reunion massacre back in the day of VHS with the big skull and a graduation hat on. So, I mean, I have that raggedy VHS box, but I mean, I never rented it, so when I first saw it, I couldn't believe, you know, and it's really got a cool 70s vibe.
I don't even think Love Butcher, though, they've got it on here. I don't think it was selling too well, because it's like $13.99 now.
No, it's sold out. I tried to buy it.
Oh, is it sold out? Oh, yeah, I see that now. They can't just delete the fucking movie on there. I have to have it up there. Oh, you can click on it.
I was so pissed that, like, one of my best friends had a copy of it, and I was like, man, I'd love to have that. And then that guy never wouldn't, you know, he just screwed
me.
What
a son of a bitch.
I know. I don't know. I should just disassociate with him.
Do you think The Redeemer is something I enjoy, though? I haven't bought any Blu-rays all year, believe it or not.
Me and Dana like it. I like it a lot, so it's hard for me to say if you will like it. But it's I think it's a definite, cool, odd, weird horror movie from the mid-70s.
All right, so.
So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, anyway.
Bloody Mary, you going to get Bloody Mary?
I don't know what that is. I've never...
that's the other Blu-ray that's coming out.
Oh, okay. See, for me, I don't really even like Nailgun Massacre. I don't know what Bloody Mary is. But not that that's a...
It's a Mexican vampire movie with the ex-wife of John DeLorean.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
In the early set, before she was big, you know. It's a pretty cool little movie, but definitely, I don't know... There's never been a really good copy of that, so I hope they had a good source to get that from.
I was talking to Uncle Bill earlier, though. I mean, I want to be honest. I think that Just Before Dawn transfer was not too bad. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I had access to it, so I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I guess we're gonna go to the interview though with Dustin and everybody that wants
Dustin
to
Diamond.
Yeah. Check out the Phantasm Exhumed book. Definitely want to listen up to this interview. Talk a little bit about how you got into horror films early on. Was this something you watched, like the Phantasm films as a kid, or horror films in general? Tell us about, you know, a little bit of the background, how you got into the genre.
You know, I got into horror films, like most people, at a younger age than was probably appropriate. I know my 8th birthday cake was the Bates Motel sign, which was probably way too young to be watching those movies. But I got into Phantasm when I was about 15. I just came across it at a home video store, and it blew my 15-year-old mind, you know. And then I got mm-hmm. the sequels, and those blew my mind further, and I was just I was hooked.
Yeah, I mean, those are the Phantasm films are interesting because I think they're very rewatchable. For me, at least, I took a long break from watching any of those films, and I think I got like a lot of Laserdiscs back in like the late 90s, and the first Phantasm film was one of them, and it really got me back into the films. But I know that you work with some of the people in the film, like at conventions and stuff like that. How did that all come about?
You know, around just shy of the 30th anniversary, I kind of became friendly with the cast, and conventions were wanting more and more reunions. And I actually started by with Michael Baldwin. They were doing the 30th anniversary reunion in Chicago, and they had everybody except Michael Baldwin because he didn't do conventions. That was just kind of known, and they didn't even ask him. They just knew, don't ask Michael. He's not going to do it. And I called him up, and I, over a long phone call, convinced him to do one convention in Chicago, which I went with him to. And it was a huge success, and then another convention followed, and another convention followed, and now he's just does them regularly. And so that's one of the ways that it unfolded a few years back.
Steve, do you have anything?
Have you like got a lot of memorabilia from the film?
You know, I'm actually not a collector. I want to be. I love looking at other people's collections, but I'm not a collector. I don't have the tall man figure. I don't have the collectible CUDA. In fact, I, believe it or not, at this point, I don't even own any of the films on DVD. I don't even have them.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I've got the VHS. I had films on DVD, but through the process of making the book, I would call someone and they would say, oh, I haven't seen that film in 20 years. And they'd say, you know where I can get a copy? And I'd say, yeah, hold on tight. Let me 2-day ship you a copy of the movie, and, you know, to refresh their memory so that I could interview them.
Mm. Yeah, the thing is, like, you know, these films, too, I've talked about over the years on the show and you know, just to friends in general, they almost feel like a dream too. Like a lot of the stuff in the film, I think that's why it's kind of rewatchable. You know, it's just got this strange atmosphere, especially the first film in the series, that is very dreamlike. And I'm sure that was you know, by design in a way. But, yeah, I don't know what you thought about that as far as the, I know Phantasm kind of means dream.
Yeah, the films have incredible rewatchability, I think, because each time after you watch the one of the four, soon to be five films, you know, once you get to that ending of each film, you can go back and rewatch it with a completely different set of eyes, looking out for different things that foreshadow, or, oh, I should have seen this coming, or, oh, this, what happened there? That could have been a, you know, could have been different things. So they have huge rewatchability in that way, you know, especially if you start to formulate your own theories about it. You know, is it a dream? Okay, is he awake there? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, we talk about, too, like the ending of Oblivion, which I thought, you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, where it's a perfect bookend to that series, just the way they wrapped it all up. And you know, you're asking the audience, was the whole series a dream? Was everything a dream?
Yeah.
You know, and now they're continuing, I guess, with Ravager, the new film. Did you think, like, they probably should have stopped with four, or are you one of those people that's like, oh, it's another Phantasm film, let's watch it?
You know, I loved Oblivion, every bit of it. I loved the ending. I thought it was something that no other franchise in history has been able to kind of achieve, that specialness that Oblivion has. But, of course, you want more. I think we've yet to see, you know, are they going to knock Ravager out of the park, or are we going to be all saying, man, I wish they'd have stopped at four?
Right.
It remains to be seen.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is I was talking to Uncle Bill, actually, just recently about this, too. What was the deal? Maybe I'm just imagining this, but wasn't there something a few years ago about a Phantasm web series or something like that? Do you remember that?
Yes, there was.
I'm wondering if the web series kind of just turned into the movie, or do you know?
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
What began as kind of just a test or experimental footage, as some of the cast have described it, evolved, and they'd film a little bit more, mostly with Reggie in the beginning, and they'd say, this is actually looking pretty good. What else can we do? And it has evolved across, like, 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why they kind of were under the radar as far as the, you know, nobody knew that they'd filmed this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And because, you know, for a long time, no one really knew where it was going, what the grand scheme of it was, other than Don and David Hartman, the new director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of their master plan, because they didn't start with a full 150-page screenplay and say, this is where we're going. It really has been an evolution where they've said, okay, this works. What else can we do? And that's kind of the way they made the first film, you know? People who are skeptical because Phantasm Ravager had kind of an unorthodox production, you know, I tell them, look back at the first film. They shot that on weekends across, like, 2 years. They had no idea what they were doing, and it was being rewritten all the time. All the time. So it appears to be a formula that works well for Don.
Yeah. And do you think, like, we were talking about this earlier as well. I know the original film was, what, 3 hours or something, like, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And the thing that I hate about independent films sometimes, and this is not a knock on, you know, independent filmmakers in general, but it's just an independent film is usually best at like 80 minutes. Like, I hate when they go, you know, above that, not 80, 90 minutes, you know, because you're asking too much, especially if it's something, you know. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, what were your thoughts on the Ravager teaser trailer, if you don't mind my asking?
I thought it looked pretty great. I thought the only stumbling block I think most people have to adjust with it is the digital effects, which by and large I thought were pretty good. There were a couple things where people kind of got hung up on, but they have to realize it's 2014, and if you want the movie, you know, squibs are very expensive, and Phantasm's not a series that backs down in light of its budget. You know, the budgets may get smaller, but Phantasm keeps getting bigger any way possible. I mean, I've got to respect that. So I thought the teaser looked pretty good.
Now, from the teaser, do you have any ideas where the story's going? Because it's very – because we got, like, Mike with a machine gun, I think, and Reggie's out in the desert or something. I mean, it's just, it's hard to tell where we're going to go.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see. I'm trying to think what I can say without without a silver spear showing up on my doorstep after this.
Hopefully not a giant one.
Yeah, no, wow, that'd be horrible. It's just Reggie tracking down the tall man, you know, standing up for his best pal, and it's kind of it's a continuation of Oblivion for sure, but then it jumps around a bit. So
now, I can't
nail it down.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely is intriguing because I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff going on that you really can't piece it together as of yet, at least from the teaser.
Right.
Now, do you have any idea, you know, what the release plan is for this? Is this going to have any kind of a theatrical run, or is it just going to be kind of a direct-to-video, on-demand film?
You know, I don't know how high their aspirations are with it, because given that Phantasm 3 and 4 both went direct-to-video,
right,
unfairly, I think. I think if both of those definitely could have gone theatrical had someone gotten behind them. I think they're kind of aiming for probably a limited release with this and then the direct-to-video home market. But I imagine, you know, they're trying to get it out for the 35th anniversary. There's, you know, they waited a long time to announce it, and they waited until the 35th anniversary year to announce it. So I'd imagine they're trying to get it out this year.
Yeah, I think September, October would be a good time.
It would. Yeah. It would.
Now, one of the problems I see with Ravager, and, you know, a good director, good film techniques and stuff like that could pull it off. Angus Scrimm is, I'm thinking he's close to 90 years old.
I think he's 87.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be tough for him to pull off, you know, or to come across as the menacing tall man once again? Or, you know, because it was, what, 16 years ago, the last film was made, and it seemed like it was tough for him then, you know, at that age. What do you think?
You know, I think he's always had it, even, you know, no matter what age he's been, because he's been playing this role now for 35 years. I think he's just had it. The role is certainly, in Oblivion, it was physical, because you've got the desert terrain and he was moving around a lot. I think he's still got it. I think I haven't seen any tall man footage from Ravager, but from what I've heard from some of the crew, his stuff's powerful. So, I mean, I look forward to seeing that. Without him, you just can't do it. There's just right. No movie.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the characters, like much like Freddy Krueger. I mean, you saw what happened there with Robert Englund being replaced. You can't do that, you know, no. with Angus.
And with Angus, sometimes it's not even acting, sometimes it's reacting, sometimes it's just him standing in a corner and raising an eyebrow, and you've got a moment, and that's, you know, I'm not saying that's all he does in Ravager, he does quite a bit more, but, you know, it's, I think he's still got it.
Okay. Now, tell us about the book, though, Phantasm Exhumed. How long of a project was this? How many years? How many you know, not staying up late finishing this thing? How long did it take?
My God. I really hunkered down in 2009 to start writing this, and it's just been a huge, huge undertaking. It's I have more than 60 original interviews in the book and more than 260 photographs in the book. And it's just been an enormous challenge, because my favorite making-of books are the ones where they take you day by day, what they filmed on this day, what they did on this day, you know, when was filming complete, that kind of thing. And that's the approach I took. And so Phantasm Exhumed is a day-by-day look at the making of these four films. You know, I'm not pussyfooting around and generalizing. I'm taking you on May 4th, 1977, they shot this scene. And, you know, here's how they did it. So it's huge detail, huge, huge detail.
Yeah, so I would imagine, yeah, that was a lot of time, and
it may even have been a stupid decision. You know, I probably could have had it out years ago had I just not tried to be so damned specific.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the series go, I'm sure when you, I mean, I don't know how big of a surprise the fifth film was when you heard it was announced, but did you think, man, I'm going to have to go back and then talk about, you know, have a new chapter for a new film, or was that something where you're like,
It wasn't a surprise. From the moment I started the book, I was aware of the web series and it becoming Ravager. And the big joke was, you know, who's going to finish first, the book or Phantasm V? Because they both were kind of trudging along in secret. And I'd always planned to have a chapter on it, or a section at the end of the book that would talk about it. But since the announcement, I've been able to go back at the very last minute and kind of rewrite some of that to give more detail. And I'm also happy to say that Phantasm Exhumed is going to debut three of what may be the first behind-the-scenes pictures from Phantasm Ravager.
Hmm. Very cool.
So I'm excited about that. As to whether or not I'll ever go back and do a chapter on Ravager, I don't know, because, you know, its impact and legacy are yet to be seen, and it could take years for us to kind of figure out that movie and where it fits in, you know what I mean?
So right.
I'm very happy covering the first four. That's okay for me. It doesn't feel incomplete to me.
Is there anything when you were doing your research for the book and everything, any kind of little bits of trivia that you found out that maybe most people don't know about?
Oh, God, yes. Where to start? Let's see. Well, you know, here's one that's interesting to me. You know Bill Thornberry, who played Jody in 1, 3, and 4, and 5.
Right.
He, right before he went to an audition for Phantasm, he was called over to, might have been MGM, by a young director to kind of just read for a new science fiction movie. And he didn't really care much about it. He wasn't that interested. He figured, hey, they've already done this with Star Trek. And he got into the lobby of the casting office, and he saw Mark Hamill there, who he knew and whom he had worked with before. And, you know, he really kind of took a I-don't-care attitude into the audition. And that movie turned out to be Star Wars. He met with George Lucas, and he kind of holds that story up as a make-sure-you-always-put-your-best-foot-forward kind of lesson.
All right.
And he says after that, he went into Phantasm with lots of enthusiasm for what Don was doing because, you know, he realized what he had missed out on.
I think in the commentary for the original Phantasm, one of the more interesting aspects I could remember was they were playing the song, he and Reggie, and that was that something that he was just ad-libbing at the time, making up, or I can't remember, but I know that Bill's like always been big into music. Was that song, do you know if that song had already been written or that was just something they were coming up with?
That was just something from Bill's personal catalog. You know, after Phantasm, he kind of quit acting and moved with his family to Nashville, where he was a fairly successful songwriter for a number of years. He wrote songs for a number of artists. The only one that I can remember right now is Reba McEntire, mm-hmm. for some reason off the top of my head. But he has recorded several albums and written countless songs for country artists, I know.
Yeah, I always love that scene, though, because, you know, most of the time if you're watching a movie and they're playing guitar or something like that, it's always like, dubbed over in the studio or something, and you could totally tell they were playing that there, you know, and it made it feel more real, I guess.
Oh, it was completely organic, you know, and Bill kind of regrets the fact that he didn't get a chance to record it in studio for the movie, but it feels great live, and it's just a fun moment. Like, I don't think anyone watches that scene and is thinking to themselves, please, let's get through this, let's get this over with and go to the next scene. It's just very enjoyable.
Yep, it's a great scene. Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir. trying to think here, because it's so much stuff going on in Phantasm, it's hard for me to come up with one question because there's so many things that are in your book there, did you find much to do about Phantasm III and why it didn't receive a cinema release?
Yes, actually. Phantasm III gets a lot of love in the book. I think it's 55 pages of love for Phantasm III. And one of the things I found out was that the president of MCA Universal that greenlit that film, Robert Blattner, actually died in a freak plane accident just before filming started. And so it almost canceled Phantasm III, almost took it off of the slate. And then when they finished Phantasm III, all of a sudden, kind of the Phantasm advocate at the studio was no longer there. So they had to figure out, you know, what do we do with this movie? You know, who greenlit this? Oh, he's gone. So that was interesting to find out.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm curious about, and it's a funny story because we had Michael Baldwin on the show a couple of years ago, and we were trying to ask him about his opinion of Phantasm II. And because he's not included, you know, of course, James LeGros, for some odd reason, replaced him in that movie. Do you go into that too? I'm sure. Did you interview James LeGros as well for the book?
You know, no, I didn't. I tried to. I got an initial no from James LeGros, and then Angus Scrim ran into him at a movie screening and said, "Hey, I've got this friend. He's doing a book. Would you do it?" And James said, "Absolutely. Just have him contact me." Well, then I did contact James again through a mutual friend, and I got a second no. So I certainly tried for James. James has really kind of shunned Phantasm ever since he appeared in it. He doesn't do conventions. He turned down the Region 2 box set special features. He turned down the Region 1 Blu-ray special features. He just kind of doesn't want to talk about it. Like, you know, for a guy whose filmography has much, much worse films, I can't imagine why he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's not like he's not really doing a whole lot anymore these days anyway.
He was on Justified for a couple episodes.
Yeah, I know he appeared in Zodiac, but I'm trying to think of, beyond that, what else he's really done.
I was watching, of course, this is an older movie. He's in Point Break. I had no
idea.
I was watching it. I was like, what the fuck? I don't remember him in that movie, but.
Yeah, and of course, he was also in the remake of Psycho, which I can understand if you don't want to talk about being in the remake of Psycho, but come on. This is Phantasm II. It's a cult classic.
Yeah. And oddly enough, it's. I don't know why, but still to this day, it's the only Phantasm film on Blu-ray. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Well, it's the only one that's not controlled by Don Coscarelli domestically. It's the one, Universal Studios still owns it, and so they kind of get to call the shots on what happens to it in Region 1. It's just a matter of time until you get Blu-rays of 1, 3, and 4. Those are, Don controls those domestically, and I think, it's not a fact that they're not going to do it. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, but it's kind of sad that you have, like, movies like The Final Terror and Death Spa coming out on Blu-ray, and Phantasm still not out.
That's true.
kind of pisses me off a little bit, but hey. Now for this book, I noticed that it's the unauthorized, book of Phantasm. What can you say about that, if anything?
Well, I can say the reason it's unauthorized is because although I got dozens upon dozens of cast and crew and special effects creators and studio executives and that kind of thing, the one person I was never able to get involved was Don, was the creator. He owns Phantasm. He is Phantasm. And he's well aware of me and well aware of the book. And for various reasons, I just wasn't able to bring him on board. And so this is therefore the unauthorized. This is not authorized by the official Phantasm camp. Of course, it's being participated in by a lot of the cast and crew. Angus Scrim writes the introduction. Michael and Bill and everybody, they're all in there. But I just didn't get Don's participation. So that explains the unauthorized part.
And that kind of surprises me. I mean, I don't really know Don. I've never met him. But it's a book promoting his films. I mean, the only thing that can come of it is people buying his films, you know, that don't already own them. I mean, I don't really, that just confuses me. I mean,
well, you know, I never really hit it off with Don like I did the rest of the cast back when I was, you know, around 2007 when I was starting my Phantasm website, phantasmarchives.net. Don was always very nice when he would, you know, he would email from time to time and say, hey, the site looks great. Thank you for doing what you do. And there would always be a line in there like, P.S., do you mind taking that video down? We're saving that for the DVD. Or, P.S., we're not ready for that news to be out there just yet. Do you mind taking that down? And so I feel like I was always a bit of a thorn in his side from the beginning. Not meaning to be, but I was. And I think maybe he was unsure as to what kind of book I was going to write, because this is not some kind of tell-all, this is the dirt of Phantasm kind of book, but I don't know that he knows that.
Hmm. So. It's an interesting story, though, and I'm looking forward to checking the book out. Is it available now? Can you give us some details on that?
It is not. I'm thinking it's going to be available in a week or so. You know, the announcement of Phantasm 5, I won't say it delayed the book, because the book already had a section on it, but what it allowed me to do was go back and add more about it, since it was no longer hush-hush, quiet, hasn't been announced. I was also able to put some behind-the-scenes pictures from Phantasm 5 in it now, and so that's delayed it just a little bit, but like I said, in about a week, I think it's going to be at a lot of online retailers and certainly on the official book website, phantasmexhumed.com. You'll be able to get it there as well.
All right, very cool. And it was good to have you on here. Is there anything else you want to mention? Any other projects coming up?
You know, after this project, I think I'm going to take about 10 years off before I tackle another book. But, no, it was great being on. Thank you guys so much. Huge fan of the show. You know, you've had some great Phantasm interviews. And also, retrospectives, I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, but you guys did a great... It was either a Coscarelli retrospective or a Phantasm retrospective.
Yeah, I think that. I vaguely remember that. When it comes to doing these shows, we've done them for so damn long. Like, I can't remember what we've done and what we haven't done a lot of the time.
Oh, God, how can you possibly remember? You need a freaking historian.
Oh, I know. Folks, welcome back to Dead Pit. We're on here with Double Schneeberger and Steve.
What's up?
Yo.
And of course, this weekend, WrestleMania 30. We want to talk a little bit about that. Supposed to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time. What do you guys think? Is it going to live up to the hype?
No.
Or that's simple.
Well, it's going to be the biggest ever. It's going to be the biggest as far as how many people are going to be on the show. So it's pretty much everybody on the roster.
Yeah, I think there might be a chance for JTG to be in that fucking...
I was going to say, except JTG.
Oh, okay. Well,
William...
Best job ever.
You know, William Regal's in that battle royal.
Really?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to have any surprises in that...
There's a couple
Hulk Hogan,
of...
Hulk Hogan hinted at the Ultimate Warrior, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, if Ultimate Warrior was in it, he'd have to win it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of there's like three or four entrants not announced yet, so there should be some, like, who knows, you know. I would show up, Duke the Dumpster Grody, and
I would say Jake the Snake should be one of them.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool, although he did just have surgery not too long ago, so I don't know if he can.
Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, he'd be Marty a good Jannetty. One. He'd come out just like the rock, old rocker days, swinging his arms.
Yeah. Maybe that other bushwhacker that's still alive.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, another thing is it's definitely going to be the longest WrestleMania. That'll be the biggest ever. And that, in terms of that, you got like 6 hours from like 5 to 11 if you watch all the preview show shit, too.
I don't think I want to watch I might watch the 1 hour preview show, but not the two, you know, the one that starts at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tag team stuff, dude.
That first one's going to be nothing but, like, trying to get people to buy the network. You know that, the first hour where, you know, it's available for everybody.
Yeah, so it's probably just going to be a big waste of time. And then they are going to have, they only have 7 matches announced, and it's a 4-hour, well, 5-hour show, really, because, the kickoff show is including another match, which I guess makes it 8 matches. The tag team title match, which to me, man, I mean, and I know I've been a wrestling fan, you know, since I was a kid, but you should have the tag belts on the line. You should have the Intercontinental belt on the line on the actual pay-per-view, not on the pre-show.
Yeah.
You know, they should have some sort of storyline with those guys. And the Usos, man, I like the Usos. I think that they're entertaining to watch.
They're good, man.
You know, so I think they should focus a little more on the tag teams and give them something other than just, you know, matches, which are good. But, I mean, you don't have any story there. And that's the thing with me is there's no reason you should really care about this match.
What do you guys think about the possibility of this turning into like a clusterfuck show? You know what I mean? Because there's so many matches with so many people. It's like I can just see many of these matches just turning into like just too much.
I think it's a good possibility with that. You got two big-ass matches. You got the Divas Invitational thing with all like over 10 Divas, and then you have
14, Steve, 14.
14.
Yeah.
And then you got this other one with 30 or 30-so people. It's just going to be a big,
right.
I mean, I don't know.
And that, seriously,
the one with the Divas is just going to be about 5 minutes long with 14 people in it.
I want to be bitching like crazy if Big Show wins that Battle Royal. Because it's like, I mean, they're making it kind of obvious that he's the one. I mean, there's nobody else even. And why the fuck do you book a Battle Royal like that anyway? Like, especially if he's the one going to win it. You make him like, oh, nobody can stop his ass. You know, he's throwing everybody over. It's fucking retarded.
Why is he such a big deal and then Big Khali can't? I mean, because Khali's bigger than him. You would think if they're going to go
Khali, man.
Bigger.
I think at this point in his career, Hornswoggle could push over Khali and he'd fall over. You know, it looks like he's walking on stilts or something now. So.
He probably don't even have the energy to walk to the ring, is why he's not in, or is he in it?
I don't think he's in. I mean, I don't think they've mentioned it, but
they'd have to bring out the old WrestleMania 6 cart to bring him out to the ring in.
Yeah. And see, I don't get the They're winning a fucking trophy. Like, that's the prize. I mean, really? Like, you should at least make it the main event. You get a main event at the next pay-per-view or whatever.
Well, that's going to demean the Royal Rumble.
Well, it's already kind of demeaning the Royal Rumble anyway. You know, you're having another Royal Rumble at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Maybe they could do something. I mean, I heard some people say maybe do it for the IC belt or something like that. I don't know. This, as always, this could make a thing to elevate one of the new guys and give him some prestige. Maybe that's that Russian true. Guy that's coming up.
Vladimir.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Reminds me, I didn't watch NXT this past week. I need to catch up on that.
Yeah.
It's not out yet.
Zane's on. It's on tonight.
The last couple shows, actually, then. It is Thursday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen last week's either. I'm slacking.
You notice that now that Thursday night's all about NXT and there's no TNA talk.
Well, there hadn't been any TNA talk even before NXT come along, Steve. Let's be honest.
I just saw earlier where, like, a TNA recently did a show and had under 500 people there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, TNA's in...
Well, Jeff... I think Jeff Jarrett, he'll probably get on... He might get something with Spike, and that'll be the end of TNA.
Yeah.
Well, the end of TNA... I mean, it's like a long, drawn-out, like, I don't know. It's like a slow death. The lonesome death of TNA.
Well, I can't wait to see the documentary about it from WWE in 5 years.
WWE. The thing is, though, I mean, I don't even think Vince would be interested in their library.
No.
No, well, there's no way. There's some good stuff, but geez, nothing.
Not much good
not
stuff.
Like a linear,
not in the last 3 or 4 years.
Like, no, all the good stuff was when, you know, early on when and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then what about Jerry Lawler's? He might be selling the Memphis library to WWE.
Yeah, I heard
that'd be cool.
Too.
Yeah,
so I'd like to see that. It'd be cool if they showed the wrestling, those old thing, Memphis things about 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, like in the old days.
I don't know why they wouldn't. But some more of the matches, I guess, on here. One that's interesting, because we were talking about this on the WrestleManiac show, I think the last one we did, which we are going to do a show Sunday night after WrestleMania as well.
Yes,
Jason,
sir.
you should be drinking some energy drinks by that point. Just to
I might be having my head sitting in my hand with my elbow on the table, but I'll be there.
Yeah. So yeah, that's going to be live on the YouTube. If you want to search for Dead Pit on YouTube, it'll be on that channel right after the show. I don't know who all is going to join us. I know Steve, he'll already be asleep by about 3 or 4 hours by that point, probably.
No, I gotta go see Billy Joel.
Yeah, he's a piano man. John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. What do you guys think? How the build has been for this particular match here, and John Cena, of course, taking kind of a demotion, I guess, as far as he's not anywhere near up the card, you know, main event wise, like he has been the last 10 years or so.
You know, I like it. You know, at first when I started hearing rumblings about this match before they even started building it, I was like, what? You know, but now, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, like I've said on several shows, you know, I've come to respect John Cena, and I kind of like the build-up to this. Bray Wyatt's just awesome anyway. I mean, that guy just blows anybody away doing promos now, I think, and his in-ring skills are awesome, and I think it's going to be a good match. I like this this little more harder edge turn for Cena, like especially last week. You know, like he just, I don't know, he seemed like he had a little bit of harder edge to him, talking about whipping your ass and stuff. Like, I haven't seen stuff like that from Cena in a while. So, I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good match. And I applaud Cena for not having a problem doing that, you know, giving a guy a match that's only been in there a year and a half on the grandest stage of them all. You know, I mean, that's one other way that I respect Cena, and I think it's awesome he's doing that. You know, I mean, whether or not Bray wins, it's an honor to wrestle like the top guy. You know what I mean? So I think it's cool that he's doing that.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters as long as he comes off looking strong. And then, like you say, it's a, you know, being trusted with a spot with the number one guy in the company. That's going to elevate him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bray Wyatt has to win this match too, though. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen. and I don't know if, I'm sure he won't win it clean, but I think that John Cena doesn't really have anything to prove anymore. He should be trying to make some new stars. And, I think this is a feud that could probably continue on past this, this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'd like to see it go on the Payback. I wouldn't mind seeing that at Payback. That'd be cool.
Yeah. And I think that they could do some stuff, too, with, is it, it's one of the Bella twins, Nikki Bella, I think. They could do something with her, man. I mean, everybody knows that Cena and her are kind of a thing. I always like stuff like that, you know. Get something involved there where he's kind of stalking her. Or something, you know. I think it'd be neat. But I want to tell you, man, one build that I think they've totally fucked up on, and that's the Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. I'm still looking forward to the match, but I think that just the way they've went about the whole build, I don't like it. I don't like how they did it. You know, they kind of did the supernatural thing, which they haven't done in a long time, but Brock Lesnar's a bad, I don't think he's a good guy to do that sort of thing with.
Yeah, I don't, I just haven't been interested in it at all. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know. I hope the match is good, but I'm wondering if the match is even going to be good. I agree. It's the build-up's just been shit. It's just, there hasn't been anything special to it at all. It's like, hey, I'm in the ring. Come on, jump me, you know, run in. And it's just, I don't know. I just haven't liked it.
I think he's had so many really, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to win a Burger King meal out of this because this guy at work's like, hey, I got a Burger King meal and Lesnar pulling it out Sunday. I'm like, dude, I'll take you on that right now.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
No. Well, the thing is, too, and I know you checked out this match. It was back years and years ago when they did that Hell in a Cell match. They have such a history together, those guys.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't touch on that shit at all. And the whole thing from UFC a couple years ago, they didn't touch on that at all. And I think they missed the boat with this. You know, they could have built it up. And what I would have done, and, you know, I'm playing Booker now, I would have brought Undertaker back as kind of this year, because you can do that with Undertaker. He's, you know, one of those guys you can kind of reinvent every year if you wanted to. I'd make him kind of a mix between the old Undertaker and the American Badass Undertaker. Bring him out there on a motorcycle. Make it seem more realistic. And, you know, just have those guys hating each other. They fucking hate each other. And they don't, you know, they're doing that with Daniel Bryan and Triple H. But I think that works. That would work with every match. Why can't one guy just say, I want to rip your head off at WrestleMania or something like that. And just, you know, have them go nose to nose. They look like they're going to kill each other. And they could have done that with this match, but they did. And they, you know, brought the fucking monks out there and the casket and all that stuff. And it just didn't fit, you know, it didn't fit with what I thought they should have done.
Yeah.
So anyway, that brings us to, Daniel Bryan, Triple H, which I think could be one of the first matches in the pay-per-view.
Right.
Simply because one of those guys is going to be wrestling twice. And we all know the main event will be the triple threat WWE championship match. But I think these guys are probably going to have the best match of the show. It'll be interesting to see how they work together because Triple H is just a big jacked up dude, and Daniel Bryan's kind of a small dude that, you know, relies on a lot of physical stuff, and it'll just be interesting to see how they kind of work together. But I think they'll pull off probably the best match of the show.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm wondering if there's going to be, you know, any type of interference, you know, Triple H and Daniel, and then especially the main event. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys listen to Stone Cold's podcast, but he swears. I mean, he says he has no inside information, but he swears CM Punk's going to come back to WrestleMania one way or another. I don't really think so, but I think it would be pretty awesome to see him come in at the end or something if he really does. But I don't know about all that. That's kind of going off into something else. But yeah, I think Triple H and Daniel Bryan's going to be a really good match. And hopefully the main event is. I don't worry about Daniel Bryan. It's just Batista being in there.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing with, we'll get into that in a little bit. But the only tag team match on the show is something that just seems like, I don't know, because the Shield definitely deserves a spot on the show. No doubt. I think those guys should have been used better than this, though, because, you know, they're wrestling Kane and the New Age Outlaws. And it seems like they just tried to throw something out there for those guys. The New Age Outlaws and Kane, because they didn't have anything for them. And the Shield should, and I think that they are not going to do the breakup or anything anytime soon now. They've kind of reinvented them as baby faces.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to seen the Shield versus the Wyatts in some gimmick match. That I think that would have been amazing. But I'm not really expecting a whole lot with this match. I mean, no offense to Kane and the New Age Outlaws, but they've had their time, really. I mean, they've had enough of WrestleMania moments. I think they should have gave this spot to somebody else.
From what I've heard, the New Age Outlaws were requesting to work with the Shield is why that's going down. And apparently, like, this is more than likely going to be the last of the New Age Outlaws on this return. So that's why they put this match together, from what I've heard. But yeah, it would have made the most sense to do Wyatt versus Shield at WrestleMania, because look at the two matches they've had. Both of them are in the running for match of the year. I mean,
oh yeah,
it was amazing what they did, you know, at Elimination Chamber, and then hell, they turn around and Raw the next night and put on probably even a better match.
Yeah,
you know, they could have done something real. I mean, just imagine. I think that could have been one amazing, like, Hell in a Cell match, like, or something, you know, something like that. Like, I just, and people would have been excited for it, because they had the build-up from two amazing matches that the crowd was just, like, completely into. Now, if they would have had another match at Mania, I mean, it would have sold itself. But, yeah, it is a really thrown-together match. But, yeah, I love the Shield, and I hope they do keep them together and just kind of push the guys separately, kind of like a NWO or DX type deal, because there's no reason why they couldn't do that, you know. Have them do single matches, keep them together too.
Yeah. Well, the only guy, though, that's a clear-cut heel is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
You know. And it's tough because, you know, I know that they wanted to push Roman Reigns. He's going to be the next big guy, and I think he will be too. I think he'll be their next top guy, as far as new guys go. But Seth Rollins is so amazing to watch, you know, and some of the stuff that he does. And I hope that some of these guys, you know, Seth Rollins in particular, doesn't get kind of lost in the shuffle, like, you know, Kofi Kingston or somebody else like that has gotten, just because they don't have any ideas for somebody his size or whatever. So, anyway, main event, which I think will end up being Randy Orton, Batista, Daniel Bryan, the main event. Can you see anything else happening besides Daniel Bryan holding that belt up at the end, or holding both those belts up, winning the title finally?
Better not be, because there'd be a lot of. I think that would be a really bad spot. For the WWE, if that ever happens.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, previous shows, you know, Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, you know, people thought, well, they should do it with Bryan, but they're not going to do it. I think at this point, they absolutely have to do it, because it's Mania. You want a big, huge payoff, and this is something, you know, they could sell as, you know, it's been building since SummerSlam, which, you know, it has. Or maybe even before that, as SummerSlam, right? I mean, that's pretty much where it started, yep. With Triple H and Bryan. So, I mean, it makes sense to do it now. And I really don't think it was their original plan to have a minute, but they've pretty much been forced in to do it from, you know, the fans. And I don't see any other way around it, because Orton's not going to keep the title. Batista, if he wins, oh my God, that place is good. Crater might not make it out alive.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah.
And then Triple H coming in and winning the belt. I mean, I think you're really hurting your company if you do any of those three options. To me, Daniel Bryan's the only option you have at this point. I don't bet money, but this is one situation where I would freaking bet money Daniel Bryan's coming out the champ.
Yeah. And I think, though, that something will come of this that will. I don't know what it is that you'll know who the challenger is for Daniel Bryan throughout, you know, the next couple of shows. I don't know if that means somebody's turning on somebody or what, but yeah, I think that they've got to establish, or maybe it happens the next night on Raw. We'll see who you know, who's going to shit on Daniel Bryan's parade this time or whatever, if anybody. Hopefully, like you're saying, I definitely see him winning that title finally. Yeah. And the place going fucking nuts. But I think they need to listen to the fans a little more, man. I mean, rather than waiting 6 months and doing, you know, which I think the Royal Rumble thing, that was one of their biggest clusterfucks in recent memory, that show, because they were doing the exact opposite of what people wanted.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's a good show. On paper, it looks like a pretty weak WrestleMania. Not a whole lot of stuff, in ring wise at least, that I think will be that good. I mean, the Battle Royal thing, they're going to take up at least an hour with that, I'm sure. And for just
what about the Divas?
That's probably at least another half hour or longer.
Really? You think the Divas are going to get a half an hour?
I hope not.
Well, you got 14 of them.
I think they're going to get under 10 minutes.
Well, let's hope so.
The thing with that match, though, is nobody knows the stipulations. Nobody knows how that match is going to go down. Like, there's been several things said, but nothing has been concrete. This is how this match is going to be. So either they don't know or they're just saving it for Mania. But I've even heard that, like, even AJ Lee wouldn't have to be pinned to lose a title is one thing I've been hearing thrown around. So I don't know, man. I just think that they're flying by the seat of their pants with a lot of this stuff, and they do that too much anymore.
Well, predictions, though, as far as, like, you know, do you guys remember who's even in the Divas title match? I don't think AJ is going to keep the belt. I think somebody else is probably going to win it.
Tamilia, whatever her name is.
Tamilia.
Tamaya.
Tamina.
Tamina, that too.
Yeah, there you go.
Her too.
You got to remember that Emma's in it, though.
Or even Eva Marie.
Emma could possibly win it. So.
Y'all watch Total Divas? Probably not, because you're a real guy. So I watch Total Divas. It's pretty freaking funny. Aren't they going to? Summer Rae got smacked the shit out of Natty Neidhart.
I want to watch it if it was on, like, the network. Are they going to put it on there ever or what?
He still owns it, and I don't know if anybody's going to.
No.
It was the highest rated show, or the second highest rated show on E, other than the Kardashians.
So I'm looking at the list of participants, though, in the Andre Battle Royale. It's fucking hilarious. Like, Zack Ryder is in it. Yeah. When was the last time he was on a pay-per-view, even?
Oh, man. That's hilarious. They're shaking the bottom of the barrel with a lot of those in there.
The Great Khali is also in it, too, by the way. You were wondering about shit. That.
I knew he was.
It's going to come down to him and Big Show at the end.
Big Show, yeah, just push him over.
I don't think that match is going to last an hour for the simple fact that everybody's going to be in there at the beginning. It's not going to be like the Royal Rumble where there's only one every 2 minutes, because that does kind of extend that longer. I think it'll be a half hour tops with that.
Hey, what about that bull thing? It's going to be there with the Matadors. I think they're going to be. I think he's going to be in it.
Oh,
El Torino or something.
No, they're in the. Oh, is he? I'm not sure. I'm looking through the list here.
I'm just guessing.
They have 27 announced, so there could possibly be 3 surprise. I'm sure Jake the Snake is one, like I was saying.
Maybe it'll be Mick Foley doing all 3 faces of Foley.
It's kind of messed up because Dolph Ziggler's in that battle royal, man. I mean, I don't know who the hell he pissed off, but Jesus Christ. He's like a jobber now, glorified jobber.
Well, you guys know Stone Cold's going to be at WrestleMania now, right? He's announced it himself, but he is going to be a part of it somehow. They haven't announced it how, but he is going to be there and doing something. And they're also talking about The Rock could possibly make a cameo.
Yeah, I know the plan is for Rock to come back to next year. He's going to be wrestling next year at WrestleMania, or that's the rumor.
Yeah, I saw something today where they said they don't know if he would do something maybe pre-recorded or what, but possibly a cameo from The Rock. But Austin is definitely there in New Orleans. He even mentioned it on his podcast, but then I saw something earlier today, too. I think TMZ even had something about it, too.
Cool. Well, yep, WrestleMania this Sunday. I'm looking forward to it, as always. It's cool that it's going to be on the WWE Network, and it's just like $10 a month now. I will say that, so you don't have to plop down $60 or whatever it was for it. And yeah, it's 6 hours, counting all the pre-shows and stuff. And I'm betting they'll probably have a post-show, man. You know, it could be longer than 6 hours.
Yeah.
So it'll be crazy. But appreciate you guys joining me. And also this Sunday, Jason and I and a couple other people will probably be talking about the show. Well, we would definitely be talking about the show. I don't know who all is joining us on the WrestleManiacs Live. I need to put up an event page for that, too. By the way, I haven't got a chance to do that yet, but
what the hell, CK?
I'm crazy. I'm crazy lately. I'm getting old. I can't remember everything.
Too busy partying for your birthday.
That's what it was. I was drinking some Southern Comfort with Sprite and having a good time.
Ooh, boy.
Whoa.
All right, but I appreciate you guys joining me, and that's it for the show. That is an epic Dead Pit Radio show, over 2 hours long. So hope everybody enjoyed it, and stay tuned next week. I think the idea is we're going to do some phone calls next week. So, yeah, that should be fun. We haven't done that in a while. Haven't done a show in a while. It's the first show we've done in a couple months. So we will see you guys next time on the original Horror Talk Radio Show, Dead Pit.
.com. Guitar!